Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson. Did you know that yesterday was Arbor Day? Did you know yesterday was Arbor Day? Did you hear anything about yesterday being Arbor Day? Dan, did you know it was Arbor Day?
I did not.
It was Arbor Day yesterday. Now, we heard about Earth Day last week, but yesterday's Arbor Day. It flies under the radar. Get out and plant a tree or two or three. It is one of the most important things you can do. If you're looking at one thing to help out Mother Earth, one thing that would have the biggest impact on Mother Earth, it would be plant a tree or two or three or four. But do it every year. And it kind of irks me because Arbor Day just kind of flies under the radar. Not a lot of people think, you know, or hear about it or whatever. It's always, I think it's the last Friday of April. But just kind of flies under the radar. The Girl Scouts, you see this? The Girl Scouts are going to plant 5 million trees between now and 2026. And there's a badge for it, a Girl Scout tree promise. But here's the kicker. When they plant the tree or trees, whatever they do, they also have to take care of it for 3 years to make sure that it grows. That's pretty cool. That's a commitment. And that's great. So thumbs up to the Girl Scouts planting 5 million trees over the next, 5 years. Good to the Girl Scouts, and it's a great thing to do. And again, if you didn't know yesterday, and you shouldn't have to know that, you know, having a day to make you go out and plant a tree, but it's good to have one, but unfortunately it does fly under the radar. Get out and plant a tree, please. You know, I'm a big container gardener. You've heard me talk about this product a lot because, to me, it's one of my keys to success when it comes to container gardening, no matter what you're growing. It's called Soil Moist. And sometimes folks will email me and say, what is soil moist? Are you talking about it all the time? What is it? And I say, it's an absolutely great product. Well, to tell you all about it, I always like to bring on the man who makes it all happen. I mean, he is Mr. Soil Moist himself. He is Scott Weiser from JRM. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
If I was any better, I would be you making soil moist.
There you go.
Because you are the man. Soil Moist has been around forever. How long has it been around?
Well, we're a little over 30 years old, so probably, yeah, late 80s, mid to late 80s.
And what was Soil Moist originally developed for?
Well, we evolved out of the soft contact lens industry. It's pretty much the same ingredients. And if you put a soft contact lens or take it out of moisture, what happens? It kind of shrivels up. You put it back in moisture, it rehydrates. So it's pretty much the same principle, and it's a cousin of what a baby diaper has inside.
No, yeah, and I always, you know, when I start to explain what soil moist is, everybody now who's had kids, babies, they all step up and say, oh, yeah, the same stuff that's in a diaper. Well, it's not exactly the same stuff, but it's close.
That's correct, correct. It's a cousin. I always say it's a cousin chemical of the...
So it's a, yeah, it's a cousin of the stuff that you find in the diapers. Talking with Scott Weiser this morning from JRM, of course, makers of Soil Moist, which is one of my keys to success when it comes to container gardening and a lot of other uses as well. So... Okay, so this is where it all started. So tell us, what is soil moist?
Well, this is it's a man-made. It's a synthetic polymer. However, it does degrade. It's completely environmentally friendly. It lasts a few years depending on salt and pH and so forth in the soil. You should get about 3 to 5 years out of it. So in the form that the most consumers get, it's a crystal. It's like rock salt. And it's an amendment, so you have to mix it in the soil. So I know we've talked about this in the past. To stress it, it is not a top dress. It is an amendment to mix near the root system of the plant. So whether for Arbor Day we're planting trees or containers coming up here, Mother's Day and everything else, you mix it in the soil.
So it's mixed down in the soil. Don't keep it up on the top, down where the roots are going to be. And so then again, the question is, so we have these small polymers, and we mix them with the soil, and do follow the instructions. You've heard my story, which was a true story about blowing all the plants out of my herb planters when you first gave me this many, many years ago. But, follow the instructions. But the thing of it is, so what does it do then? So I've added this to my soil. Does it just hold water there all the time?
Pretty much. It expands and contracts. So as it takes on moisture, these crystals swell up. They look like little chunks of jello. I don't know if people can see pictures on our website what it turns into. So they act like little sponges and release the moisture back to the root system as it's needed. So it'll go expand and contract back and forth for several years until it finally degrades. But by then, the root system should be established and good to go. So another benefit of it, in addition to holding the moisture, the expansion and contraction of the polymer helps to break up the soil, so you get a little reduces soil compaction is another main benefit of it.
Yeah, so it swells up, shrinks back down, so you're moving the soil all the time, which really helps to keep it open up. And by the way, great website. It's soilmoist.com. Pretty simple, soilmoist.com. We're talking with Scott Weisler, maker of Soil Moist. And, of course, so we look at this. Now, this can be used actually in the ground when planting trees and shrubs and evergreens, especially in locations where maybe we don't have real good access to get out and water on a more regular basis. This can really help you out.
Absolutely. And again, we talked about Arbor Day. We actually sell more on the commercial side than we do to the consumers. So to the professional, the landscapers and growers, we do an awful lot with cities. You don't see the product, you don't think of it because it's underground. But who's watering those trees? It's a big labor and time type of thing, and money. A typical 2-inch tree on a landscaper, it's over a couple hundred bucks. So our product is just a few dollars to put in, and it reduces that initial transplant shock as well. So you're saying the Girl Scouts, somebody has to take care of that tree. So this would enhance that to reduce that labor and potential of loss, because those first few weeks, first few months are very critical for that tree or shrub and your containers as well.
And you said, you know, Scott, that this does break down over a 3 to 5 year process. You know, so if I'm doing this on a regular basis with my containers, and of course every year, you know, I use the same soil, so obviously it's got soil moist in it, and I freshen up the potting soil and add a little compost and things like that. Should I add more soil moist to it every year?
I would say yes. On an annual, for annuals, yes, because in the fall or whenever, you're going to replace, pull out those old flowers, so the crystals are going to be hanging on. You'll see them right on the root system. Mm. So physically, you will be taking the polymer out of there. So you have to add a little bit each year. But again, for perennials, trees and shrubs, once it's under there, it's good to go.
Excellent. Hey, Scott, hang on with me. We're going to kind of take a quick break. We come back, we'll continue talking with Scott Weisler from JRM, the makers of Soil Moist. Their website is soilmoist.com. Again, one of my keys to success when it comes to container gardening. It's happening here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. Here in the garden with Ron Wilson with Scott Weisler this morning. He's from JRM. They're the makers of Soil Moist. Website is soilmoist.com. Now, you know, adding the soil moist, you guys have also in the lines, of course, you have all different kinds of it now, but mycorrhizae, you've added that to a lot of your products.
Yes, and that's been catching on more and more as we go through the years, if you will, that we've had it about 15 years now, and mycorrhizae overall in, you know, 20, 25 years, and it's really starting to catch on. So mycorrhizae is a natural fungus, a beneficial fungus. What it does, they're microscopic. They help the root system of the plant, so you get a stronger plant. So when that happens, stronger plant means it takes on nutrients better and helps the survivability of it. So we add our polymer for the water retention and this mycorrhizae together. So it's a great combination.
Yeah, and then you guys, a couple, and I think you've had this for a while, but it's one of your newer products for the retail anyway, is the Soil Moist Seed Coat for folks that are putting down seed, having, again, hard time keeping it moist. Here's a way to help that seed out a little bit by coating it with Soil Moist Seed Coat.
That's correct. It's a real fine polymer and a powder that you mix, just mix it right in with the dry seed, and when you spread it and you water, it keeps the moisture on the seed to get it going. It speeds that germination rate quite a bit by about, it's over 25%. We've had it tested. And then you get a more even germination rate. So that's another great product.
Talking about Soil Moist, again, you know, you've heard me talk about it for years and years and years. I still use it, love using it, especially I'll tell you where this – if folks – if you have a window box, which is really hard to keep moist, or a hanging basket that's hard to keep moist, soil moist is your answer because it really does cut down your watering. Add it before you plant, obviously. Mix it in with your soil. Get it down in the soil like Scott was saying. But let me ask you this, Scott. So let's say I've already planted my hanging basket, or I've already planted my window boxes or whatever. Can I still add soil moist now?
Absolutely. On all of our instructions, each package, we do talk about existing plants. So all you'd have to do is take a pencil or a screwdriver or something, poke a few holes, and you put the appropriate amount by the pot size that we recommend, and just poke it down, push it down where the root system is. Again, don't top dress it. And you close that hole back up with the soil and then water. So, yes, you absolutely can retrofit it.
So you're kind of creating a soil moist channel there, so to speak.
That's correct.
So you get it down into the soil. So you can do that even after you're finished planting. You can always come back and add the soil moist to it. Again, talking with Scott Weisler from JRM. They make that great product called Soil Moist, and it really does reduce your watering by as much as 50%. I've used it for years and years and years. You've heard me talk about it an awful lot. One of the questions that has come up, obviously, more and more concerned about being environmentally friendly, organic gardeners out there today. Where does soil moist fall into those categories?
Well, it biodegrades into water, ammonia, and carbon dioxide. And again, salt degrades at pH and UV light. So over time, it does degrade, but it really just turns into those three components, although it's not organic. But we have been featured in Organic Gardening Magazine. They talk about it. So it's fine with vegetables. We sell to farmers for your crops and that, so it's perfectly safe.
So perfectly safe. You got it from Scott. And by the way, have you planted a tree this year?
Yes, I have. I get things from the National Arbor Day, and we do sell to them. So they put the polymer, they dip it, and many people do buy from the National Arbor Day Society.
So you personally have planted a tree this year, Scott?
Yes, I have.
Excellent! I know you wouldn't lie to me.
No.
Hey, Scott, always a pleasure, my man. And I love, again, Soil Moist. Always appreciate you being on the show, kind of explaining to everybody what Soil Moist really is, what it really does. Great stuff. And again, hanging baskets, planting trees and shrubs in the ground, raised beds. Oh, my gosh. Use it in your raised beds, vegetable planting, window box, you name it. Soil moist is going to help you out when it comes to watering. And, of course, container gardening, so hot out there today. And one of the biggest drawbacks is, having to water. Well, add the soil moist to it. And as Scott has said, and I've said for years and years and years, more is not necessarily better when it comes to using soil moist, correct?
That's correct. It holds 200 times its weight.
So it holds 200. So follow the instructions. I did not read the instructions the first time Scott gave this to me many, many years ago, and I literally blew the plants right out of the pot when they all swelled up and pushed the plants out of the soil. True story. But nevertheless, read the label. Scott, always a pleasure. Great stuff. Soil Moist. Go to their website, soilmoist.com. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right. See you, Scott. And again, I do use it on a regular basis. Love this stuff. And you can get it at your local independent garden centers in many different sizes and all. And again, follow the instructions. It doesn't take a whole lot. In other words, and you'll see it, you'll say, wow, that's kind of expensive. Well, it doesn't take very much to put into your potting mixes. And do refresh it every year or so to put that back in there. But great stuff. Highly recommend it. All right, back to the gardening phone lines we shall go. Troy in Louisville, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
Yes, sir.
Hope you and Danny are doing well.
Doing well.
Happy Derby Day.
Happy Derby Day. Have you had a mint julep already?
I have not, no.
Okay.
But I've got about 20 lawns I'm going to take care of today.
So okay.
None for me.
All right.
I've got a question for you this morning, and the situation I'm going to describe for you is both same for the fall and for the spring. So I did some seeding at my soon-to-be in-laws and then did some spring seeding here at my place. Had very good success with the seed, but I'm experiencing some quack, what I believe is quack grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's, I don't think it's because of the seed that I bought. I think it's more a result because maybe the soil being disturbed and just a part of that seeding process. And I wanted to know how I could combat that. Maybe some products that you recommend and application and what I should expect.
You know, the problem, and you're right. I mean, you look at the seed that's out on the market, and obviously you have to read the label. There are some cheap seeds out there. Look at the inert ingredients, and they're usually very, very low, that percentage. so that you don't have weed seeds coming in with it. So a lot of times what happens is we slice seeding. Sometimes you till up the soil, you loosen some of those up that have been laying there for a while. Next thing you know, boom, there they are popping up with where our thinned out areas where we did some seeding. It does happen. That's why not rototilling, trying to get away from getting into a no-till garden can actually help you out a lot because you don't turn up a lot of weed seeds. But nevertheless, if you do have that quack grass, Dallas grass, there's a bunch of them that pop up after that happens. The problem is with a lot of those, and some can be, there are some selective herbicides out there that will take care of them. But for the most part, a lot of these grasses, it's the non-selective vegetation killers that are required to get them under control, because a lot of these things, when you go to spray some of the warm season grasses, will also take out your regular grass. And that's an issue. So, and I'm trying to think what I'm trying
so
to.
There's, and I hate to interrupt you. There's one thing that I heard from our local nursery here.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of sulfentrazone?
Yeah, that is out there. I was trying to think. There's two or three of them that are out there that can be. Now, it's not all the grasses, but it will. And I think quackgrass may be on that list. Dallas grass may be on that list too. Orchard grass, not. So it's, again, that one and, I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, they don't cover all of them, but some of them do have one or two that will take out and not take out your grass. Now, the other kicker is that new grass that's coming up typically needs to be hardened off. So, you've got to get yourself three or four good mowings on that before you would attempt to do anything as far as spraying.
Right. So I've had the mowings and pre-emergent has been applied, so I'll prevent anything else. That was probably done, I would say, at least 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, when we first started seeing that 55-degree soil temp here.
Right.
So but I will I'll continue to monitor it, and if anything, I'll follow up with you by email.
Yeah,
that way, if you think of anything else.
Yeah, and if you use that or whatever you decide to use, let me know too. I'll be curious to see how successful you are at spot treating that.
I sure will. I'll include some photos.
All Thanks right, so and, much. And have a great Derby Day.
I sure will. Thank you.
All right, good. Take care. I got about a minute to go. Darlene, good morning. Darlene, still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
My question is, when do I prune a, and I think it's potilla, P-O-T-E-N-T-I-L-L-A bush?
Yeah, potentilla.
Okay.
Yeah, potentilla. Boy, that's been around a long time. That's an oldie but a goodie. It flowers on both old and new wood, but mostly new growth, and that's why it's a more of a summer bloomer. So you would prune potentilla in the springtime. So that all that new growth that comes up will then have your nice flowers for you. And I think the thing about potentilla is it can get kind of wiry looking over time. Gets a little deadwood in the middle. Not bad, but you cut them back and kind of rejuvenate them. The way I look at potentilla is about, I don't know, every 3 or 4 years, give them a good cut back and flush up a lot of new growth. And then you don't have to do much for over that next two or three years or so, and just let it do its thing. And then go back and kind of cut it back and let it flush back up. But that's a summer bloomer, and it's one of the only plants out there that really does give you some nice off and on summer blooms right on through. And there's yellows and whites and a couple different colors for you, too.
So could I prune it right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't wait much longer. I'd get on it as soon as possible. You may delay your flowering just a little bit because it's going to have to flush back up again. But most definitely, if it's looking kind of raggy and you want to get it cut back, I'd go for it now. Do it as soon as you can, and then flush up that new growth and enjoy your potentilla. Nice. Again, like I say, it gets kind of rangy every now and then, and about every two, three, 4 years, you just cut it back and flush up a new one. But kind of a cool plant. Been around a long time. All right, quick break. We come back. Christy Wilhelmy is going to be with us this morning. Her latest book, Grow Your Own Mini Fruit Garden. Really cool book if you're interested in growing fruits and berries in a small contained area with lots of fruits and berries. How you can do it? Well, she's got the book for you. We'll talk with her coming up next here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Help for the
the do-it-yourself gardener at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.